We're also pleased that Stephen Wells has joined the Breakfast Club. He's the Geelong list manager. They've got statues of him down there. He's a wizard, they tell us. And I want to see how he assesses the AFL trade period that completed yesterday evening. Wellsy, good morning.
G'day, Daniel. How are you, fellas?
Great to have you with us. How do you sum it up, Wellsy, the last 10 days, 2 weeks of free agency and trade for the Cats? What would you give it out of 10?
Oh, hard to give it a rating, but what we did do, well, we had all three players who left actually we would have liked to have kept. So the players that left requested trade, so that's a bit of a negative. We weren't looking for that sort of involvement in the trade period, but once it happened, we tried to turn it into a positive. So I think we got a good fair deal for all three of those players who left, and hopefully it turns into a successful trade period for us because the draft picks we've got can help us bring in some new talent.
What were you trying to do? What was the theme or the goal going into the period, Wellsy?
Always looking to improve your draft hand. So we didn't target this year, unlike some recent years, we didn't really target bringing players into the club. Jonathan Segler joining us was like for like there. Once Darcy Fort wanted to go, we quickly assessed that we needed to bring in another ruckman. But apart from that, it was always going to be to try and improve our draft hand, and that's what we've done.
Jordan Clark was the story from the Geelong perspective, certainly outside. I'm not sure how much of it was going on inside and how stressed you were about the situation, but he was the story outside the club. Well, and the will they or won't they sort of relent in terms of Geelong. How hard was it to let him go because of the talent that clearly he does possess?
Oh, very hard. We wanted him to stay, did everything we could to convince him to not request a trade in the first place. But once he requested a trade and let's be honest, it was the second year in a row. So, he was looking for greater opportunities. Even though we thought those opportunities might come his way from this year and beyond, or from next year and beyond, we said, well, we'll deal with Fremantle, and provided we can get what we think's at least a very good trade, well, then we'll consider doing it. And that's the way it turned out. Andrew Mackey from Geelong and David Walls from Fremantle did most of that negotiation. And, it took a long time to get it done, but in the end, obviously, both parties were happy.
The talk before the trade period, Stephen, was that it was going to be a fairly flat period, and it certainly turned out that way. And I wonder whether COVID has impacted on that in any way, given that there were salary cap sort of reductions last year and maybe there's been some back-ending going on in contract. Did that impact on it at all?
Yeah, no doubt it did, Doctor. The direct impact or indirect impact of reduced salary caps last year meant that a lot of clubs had to defer contract payments from 2020 into 2021. So that clearly has an impact on available spend this year or for next year as well. There'll be an ongoing impact with that. List spots were very tight as well. And I think a general reluctance, or I suppose lack of knowledge, to go with the unknown a bit in that been hardly any VFL football played over the last 2 years. The draft's a little less, we're all a little less certain about the draft than we might be normally because of the COVID not being, games weren't played at the lower level. So you're right, the COVID over 2 years has had an enormous impact on it, I reckon.
Just speaking of the draft and the fact that there's been so little TAC Cup played in the last couple of years, I mean, what research, what due diligence can you do into these young kids when you don't see them plying their trade?
We've been lucky in all the clubs. Firstly, all the clubs have got are on a level playing field because we've all got this access to the same amount of information. So from that point of view, we all will still cope. But, we've been lucky there's been footy in South Australia, Western Australia, really all around the country except for the eastern seaboard a bit. And, the research we do, there's school footy and there's the limited amount of footy that they have played up until this year that we can always go back to. All the testing still gets done and the psych profiling. We're able to interview the players normally over Zoom these days. But, it is a lot less information than even we had last year. Last year, even though they played less footy in 2020, they played less footy, they had a full season in 2019, so you could refer to that and do a bit of projecting, etc., etc. But now we've had 2 years with very little footy. It makes it even harder. And then I think even into next year, even if we get a full year of footy next year, the 2 years of lack of development that some of these players will have had, most of these players will have had from certainly Victoria, it's got to have an impact somewhere, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just, Wellesley, on Jonathan Segler, I think you've done well there to get him, and you know whether he's going to be the number one ruckman. I guess you know that he's got to work that out with Reece Stanley, but you've got it's a legitimate ruckman that the Cats have now got.
Well, you're right. Once we wanted to keep Darcy Fort, and we're happy to, but once he wanted to go for what he thought was a better opportunity, we looked at it, and then but we couldn't let that happen without bringing in another ruckman, and most of them were contracted or unavailable, but Jonathan became available, so we were certainly keen to pursue that one. And you're right, he's had great experience at a terrific club through a successful period, and he comes down to the club now to work with Reece Stanley as the two experienced veteran ruckmen, you'd call them, both being 30 or so, and with the Sava Radical there behind them, and then we've got three other young players on our list that are developing ruckmen. He's got a big role to play for us, Jonathan, and hopefully he can help us win a lot of games of footy.
Oh, big man for a big role. That's just exactly what he is, Segs. He's a beauty and a ripping human as well, so it'd be good for the culture down there. So draft is the next thing on your agenda, Wellesley?
Yeah, it is. As of today, we'll be in there. So with about five and a half weeks, I think it is probably, to go till the draft in there today. And now we know our draft hand will be doing all the work we can on the players, as was implied before, that it's somewhat limited, but we'll do what we can with them all now that we know our draft hand. And it's also the start of a period where picks can be traded for picks.
Yep.
And there's a couple of clubs that might be looking to move their picks because they've got father sons coming or whatever it might be. So there's a bit of work going on behind the scenes with that for the next month or so as well.
All right, so 22, 30, 32, 34 amongst the six picks for the Cats at the moment. Might change in the build-up to the draft. So Cats fans, keep listening to RSN 97. We'll bring you all the latest. Wellesley, well done on the period. Always lovely to chat to you. Go well.
Appreciate your help. Thanks. Always happy. Thanks, fellas. Bye.
Good man. Stephen Wells, Geelong list manager with us. The Cats bringing in John Segler, losing Nathan Kruger to the Magpies, Darcy Fort to the Lions, and Jordan Clark in the end to Fremantle. We'll go in with 22, 30, 32 and 34, their top four picks. That's not too bad. And I've got a feeling that when he said they're late about the pick swaps, there's something a-brewing as
upgrade.
Well. Bit of an upgrade there for the Cats. So we'll see what they do with that. We'll get to a break. Alex Carey's going to join us after this. Change tack, talks from cricket with the South Australian wicketkeeper.